Welcome to our new podcast, Ethical Vegan Parents. I'm Justin.
And I'm Nisha. We're making this podcast as a resource to those who are interested in veganism, who are already vegan, or those who are trying to navigate the world of vegan parenting.
We will be talking about tough topics related to vegan parenting and veganism in general, and we'll also be covering recent animal rights related news stories.
Thank you so much for being here. Your support means the world to us. So let's just briefly introduce ourselves. Justin, you want to go first?
Sure. So I've been vegan for about 7 years now. I've been doing animal rights activism for almost 5 years now. I'm a new parent to my adorable 19-month-old daughter, who I'm passionate about raising her vegan. For me, it's not just about what we eat. It's really about living in alignment with our values and creating a better future. I feel it's important to instill empathy, compassion, and critical thinking skills in our children from a young age. And what better way to do that than raising them vegan?
Yeah, that's awesome. And I agree with that completely, is that it's so important from a young age that we should really be instilling these really good values into our kids, because the world is a wild place to be.
I agree.
So for me, my name's Nisha. It's going to be actually 8 years this month that I'm vegan, which is wild to think about. And then I have an 8-year-old daughter. So she's been vegan almost her entire life. We went completely plant-based when she was 10 months old. Kind of started off as a health experiment and then eventually changed completely to ethics. So health is still an aspect of it. Environmentalism is an aspect, but mostly it's just been about animals and the ethics related to that. So
awesome.
Yeah. It's been a really fun journey. But you and I have been friends for a long time too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We actually met when I first started doing animal rights activism.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
When we first met. So.
Yeah. The group that I co-run with my best friend, Alyssa, and your girlfriend is Milwaukee Animal Save. And we were doing this Thanksgiving food drive thing for this women's shelter. And you just showed up at my house with some food and we've been friends ever since. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a meatloaf, and yeah.
It was a meatloaf.
Yeah, it was super awkward, but yeah. Definitely glad I did that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Me too.
Yeah, that was out of my comfort zone.
I know, yeah. I'm proud of you.
No, thank you.
So how have things been with you this week?
It's been quite a week, actually. The weather's been absolutely beautiful this weekend, which has always boosts my mental health. However, right. The weather shift has triggered some nasty allergies for me, so I've been kind of dealing with that.
But oh, that sucks.
Yeah. On a lighter note, though, my partner had a unique experience recently. So she saw a medium, and apparently our cat had a message for us. I don't know if she told you about this.
I know. You know what she did, but just say what it is.
Yeah. She described it as like this cold white liquid or something that she wanted, and we figured out it was vanilla ice cream. So, of course, we went and bought her some and put it in a little dish. And she's just, like, looking at it for a second. And then all of a sudden, she just started devouring it.
She devoured it.
So, what? Apparently, medium was right. Universe was pointing towards the ice cream. And I just thought it was super funny that the cat, Xena, ran up to the phone because she was doing it for FaceTime and told her that and then just walked away.
That's so funny. Yeah. What kind of ice cream was it?
Just vanilla ice cream. But so like oat milk.
Oh,
so yeah,
okay.
Oatly.
Yeah, that's that one's a favorite. Good one. I love Oatly.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like the texture with oat milk and just with oats, it's so similar to dairy.
Yes.
With like growing up and loving ice cream, and I drank a lot of milk growing up because I was told to drink milk and that it made you strong and all that stuff. And I feel like the texture and the consistency is the most similar with
right.
oat milk.
And I feel like living in Wisconsin, dairy is pushed so heavily. So that seemed like the biggest hurdle in going vegan here in the state is just giving up cow milk and dairy. But I mean, I feel like the alternatives taste better at this point. And I don't know if you've had dairy on accident since being vegan, but I feel like it tastes fatty and nasty now.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then your stomach doesn't feel good.
Yeah. And you just get gassy and bloated. It's awful.
Yeah. I've had a few instances at coffee shops where they've accidentally put the wrong milk in, and it's like, I don't know if this was vegan or Yeah,
that's happened to me quite a few times. Now, every time I order coffee from a coffee shop, I feel like some stalker or something because I'll just stand there and stare at
right. They're
people
like, "What are you
thinking
doing?" Like,
Yeah. I've been doing that 75 hard workout challenge, and I've been cheating a little because some days I've missed things, but I try to tack that thing that I missed onto the next day. So basically, the 75 hard is supposed to be for 75 days. You have all this task list to do. I won't go through all of them. You can just look it up online. But part of it is just doing two workouts and then drinking a lot of water and kind of following some sort of diet, which for that, I'm just emphasizing eating something healthy every day, whether it's a smoothie or a salad. And I am only about a third of the way through, but I feel like my body's already changing and developing more definition and muscle and stuff, which is awesome because I'm in my 30s. And you think that being in my 30s, and a lot of people think that being on a plant-based diet, you wouldn't be gaining muscle at the rate that I'm gaining it right now. So I'm actually like real happy with that. I think it's affecting my mental health in a really positive way. It's giving me more self-confidence. So
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good to
yeah,
hear. And
I
I was going to
know.
ask how far along you are. So you said a third,
I
so.
think a third. I did 11 or 12 days and then I started over because I messed up. And now I've kind of had days where just being a single parent, it's hard because one of the workouts you do has to be outside. So when I have Ava, unless she wants to do like a 45-minute walk with me or something outside, it's really hard for me to get that alone time to do that. So just with everything going on with our schedules and making her lunches for school and getting her to school and then going to work and doing all that stuff, it's really hard to fit in that whole checklist. But I think that being able to accomplish it and trying to figure out how to organize my schedule in order to allow me to accomplish that has been really good for confidence. So,
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm proud of
yeah,
you. Good for you.
thank you. And it's making me eat healthier. And now Ava's been wanting to cook food too. So I'm really
That's
excited.
awesome.
Yeah. So I think this week I'm going to just watch her while she cooks meals from start to finish without my help. Because up until this point, she does help me cook, but I'll measure things out for her and she'll just dump it in. And I'm just gonna be like, no, you're just gonna do it all this week. And she's really excited about that.
That's
So
awesome. Very cool. Does she enjoy cooking with you,
She
or?
loves cooking.
Yeah,
So
that's awesome.
yeah, she likes it. She's very creative.
Very cool. That's awesome. And that's the cool different aspect that we bring is that I'm a newer parent, like I said, with the 19-month-old, and you obviously are more seasoned, so you've we'll have a lot more experiences and stories and things like that, which I'm looking forward to hearing as well, because I still have a lot to learn too. So, yeah.
It's a really, really interesting journey with that, you know. And I still have no experience compared to those with teenage kids or adult kids, too. So I'm still also learning it, but it's been really interesting and fun and nice to see how she's developed over all this time.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I'm excited to do this podcast is I feel like, oh, I'm gonna learn. I feel like you're gonna learn as well, and we can just share information and be that community that we need. And
That community building, I think, is so important when you're doing something like animal rights or veganism.
yes, yeah, I agree 100%. Because that was one of the biggest things that I faced first going vegan was feeling kind of isolated, and especially like you said in Wisconsin, being surrounded by dairy constantly. So we'll talk about more of those challenges later on, but.
Yeah, because when you went vegan, you didn't really know
Yeah,
other people,
I didn't.
right?
Yeah, my whole friend group was, I think, honestly, you and Alyssa were probably my first friends that were vegan.
Oh,
So,
okay.
and introduced me to that whole kind of world and even just that community. And I didn't realize how big the community was here. So, yeah, that was really cool. And that really did help me with transitioning to vegan because it definitely wasn't an overnight thing for me. It took me a little bit. There were cheat days, of course. I never thought I was going to be able to give up cheese. And now I look back and I'm like, oh my God.
It's the most disgusting
And
thing.
I used to love cheese and crackers and stuff. And just like I said, I was a big milk drinker when I was a kid. So I never thought that I could give that stuff up. But now looking back, it's like, and I didn't really even have to give that stuff up because I can still enjoy that stuff, but just plant-based vegan. So.
I agree. When I first went vegan too, I didn't know any other vegan people and it was so isolating. And I think Ava was 10 months old and I was a newly single parent. Yeah, it was tough. And like, I will say that after finding the actual animal rights vegan community, things got way easier to just feel like it's not just you against the world of meat eating, because it can feel really lonely and people have a really hard time with just accepting that you even want to do it, especially in states like this where it was less widespread, especially back then. There wasn't even the Impossible Burger, the Beyond Burger, like
Yeah,
any of
they didn't
those
have any of
things.
that.
Hopefully this podcast can kind of make a little community, like what you were saying, especially with people who have kids too, because I think that there's not as many resources for people who are trying to raise vegan kids, and it can be kind of like a tricky and sensitive topic, so.
Yeah, or even trying to find the information amongst all the other information and trying to find the correct information, or even because there's a lot of things that you read and you question, and you're like, I mean, even when I first started going vegan, I felt like I was doing something wrong almost. Like I had people around me, my family telling me like, why are you doing this? Like that's so wild and all this stuff. And so there are a lot of challenges. And like you said, with that community, it's just so much easier to be able to get through that and be able to ask questions and not feel like you're judged when you're asking those questions.
Right. I completely agree. So I think for part of this podcast, we were thinking about doing kind of going over what's new in the world, kind of recent news stories and stuff. And I remember you had found this article and sent it to me that I thought was really interesting about a truck full of salmon that got tipped over.
Yeah, so I was browsing through the news one day and I saw this title that it intrigued me, and it said thousands of salmon spilt in a truck and to make it to a creek to start a new life. So I thought it was going to, be kind of a happy story. So I clicked on it, and basically a tanker truck carrying 102,000 salmon in Oregon skidded off the road and did so, they say, in the best possible place. They say the vehicle hit a sharp corner, which I don't know how, like how fast. Don't I feel like you'd have to be going pretty fast to turn over if you hit a
Maybe
sharp corner,
it
but
is maybe too, also like over 100,000 salmon in a
yeah.
truck, like that's probably very heavy too. So
Heavy and crammed, and
it's hard to even visualize that.
yeah, I don't know if they were like in an enclosed, because the picture they had is was the semi actually turned over, but I guess what had happened is he hit the sharp corner. He had turned over to like a creek or some type of large amount of water. And they said 77 of the young salmon had swam towards the bank and hit the water and actually survived, which is awesome. But about 25,000 of them did not survive, sadly. And there's a picture of the bank with just a bunch of them. It's very sad. And it kind of just reminds you of just how big of a scale all this kind of stuff is. And people don't think about when you see a semi driving down the street that it's going to be full of 100,000 salmon.
Yeah, it's awful. It's interesting too because I feel like the tone in that article is happy that these salmon were able to escape and be free, but it's why are we happy for those salmon when the whole purpose of breeding salmon is basically to kill them, you know? So why celebrate the ones that got away when the whole purpose in the first place is the opposite of that? What is that dissonance there in our thinking? So last year, I read this book called What a Fish Knows by Jonathan Balcom, and he was talking about salmon, and he was actually, the whole book is basically about fish intelligence and how it may be kind of a different version of intelligence that we usually bestow upon humans, but it's intelligence in its own right. And there was a quote from there that was just talking about their sense of smell. It said, a sockeye salmon can sense shrimp extract at concentrates of one part to 100 million parts, which translates basically to 5 teaspoons in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. So that's how good their sense of smell is, you know? And it's actually so good that it helps them find their breeding grounds. So salmon, they give birth and they lay eggs in freshwater streams. And then they end up hatching out of eggs and being born, and they take these streams to the ocean. So the salmon are actually really wild because their bodies go through this chemical process where all of their internal organs adapt to be able to go from freshwater to saltwater. So their bodies undergo this like metamorphosis. and they go all the way to the ocean. They're able to live in the ocean, and then they go back to the exact same breeding grounds that they were born in, and their bodies convert back, and then they lay eggs where they were born.
Wow.
So their navigational skills to be able to go into the ocean and find the exact spot in the stream later that mm-hmm. they were born, it's some wild form of intelligence, you know, that humans don't have. And I feel like even without that, they deserve life in their own right. But it's very sad to think that we take animals with that amount of intellect and just eat them.
I agree. And it's super hard here. I don't know if it's like this in other states, but in Wisconsin, fishing is considered a sport. And you're kind of taught that as a young age. And the other thing that's sad is that when you are eating these animals, you're not thinking about what they are, who they are, I should say, mm-hmm. and how intelligent they are, because they don't teach you that either. Like when we're in school learning about the different types of fishes or all this different stuff, they don't really talk about the feelings of a fish. So there's just almost this disconnect, even starting from a young age and just growing up and thinking that it's a sport and all this other stuff. It's really hard and it's really sad.
Right. Yeah. I know here fishing's huge. I've used to fish when I was a kid too.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. And I feel like the whole idea is that like, oh, they don't feel the hook stabbing through their entire mouth.
Yeah.
Like they just can't feel that. But that doesn't make any sense. You know, they're animals, they have brains, they have nerve endings. Mm-hmm. There's all of these experiments where they test a fish's ability to feel pain. And they're proven at this point, at this day and age, they can feel pain, and they go to great lengths to try to avoid pain. There is this one experiment I remember reading about where they put fishes in this tank and they injected some of the fishes with this acid that would hurt them.
Wow.
And the fish could then choose between a very enriching tank that had like a lot of hiding spots and foliage and food, or they could choose a very uncomfortable, sterile tank with nothing in it that had bright fluorescent lights, a place where they would never go. Mm-hmm. But if there was a little bit of pain medicine in that tank, they would choose that tank over the other preferred tank.
Interesting.
Right. So at this point, we know that they feel pain.
Which is weird, because I remember as a child fishing, seeing blood when pulling fish mm-hmm. out, and fish, it doesn't always go in their lip. They can swallow it or whatever happens.
Go through their eye.
Yes, yeah. And I've seen that too. Mm-hmm. And then you're thinking like, okay, but you just hear in your brain, fish can't feel pain, fish can't feel pain.
Right.
But then you see it. It's so weird mm-hmm. how that disconnect is. And
I agree. So hopefully someday, you know, they'll get more of the recognition that they deserve, you know, just as animals in their own right.
Yeah. You actually sent me another news story
that's happier.
Let's do
happy one.
Yeah, let's do a happy one.
So this one from Veg News, here's hopefully it's something positive that we can look forward to, is that there is a list of 12 of the best vegan products that are launching this year.
Yes, awesome.
It says from bacon and steak to breakfast sandwiches and cheese wheels. And I started reading this list, but didn't finish it because I wanted to be surprised. So I'm just going to read it now.
Yeah.
So the first one is Harkin Sweets candy bars.
Ooh.
It looks like to me in this picture that they're kind of like Snickers and Mounds, that type of vibe right there, you know,
yeah,
with the different nougats and all that stuff in. So that looks good.
And it reminds me of the peanut butter cup wrapper too, which maybe yes. they're trying to go after Reese's, because Reese's now has Reese's. The peanut butter cup, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Number two, Umaro Foods plant-based breakfast sandwiches. That looks good. I guess Umaro's is made from seaweed.
Interesting. I've never heard of that. Is that the company name, Umaro?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know how to say it, so if I'm saying it wrong, my bad. But Umaro, I'm not
awesome.
Sure. But I mean, I love a good breakfast sandwich, and it's bacon, egg, cheese, which is like the best combination.
I love breakfast sandwiches. Yes. Side note, Nisha makes the best breakfast sandwiches, by the way. They're so good.
I'll make them the next time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Those look really good, though. I think they have Umaro's or whatever. They have that bacon at Temple Goddess, which
okay.
is like this plant-based restaurant off of North Avenue on the east side.
Which I don't think I've ever been to.
It's pretty
good. I'll have to try that.
Then number three, House Party Cheesy Dips.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. I need more cheesy dips in my life.
Yeah.
That are actually good.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the cheesy dips are definitely, I think Diet came out with one time.
Did they really?
Was it Diet or some other one? But it was or siete maybe. I don't remember. But it was not good.
Oh, it wasn't good?
It wasn't good. So that's why we need more. Yes.
I'm guessing if it's on this list, maybe they're at some vegan food expo type of thing. So maybe that's where they compiled it from, hopefully.
And I love the name, the brand name House Party.
Just so simple. Number four is Califia Farms Cookies and Cream Creamer.
Ooh.
That sounds good.
Yes,
yeah,
it does.
I dig it. There's
almond creamer.
Yeah, if it's almond, though, I'm really not a fan of almond milk when it's heated up. And yeah. In coffee, it tastes like cardboard.
I agree. Yeah, it does have a weird taste to it and texture. But
yes,
maybe Califia or Califivia. Califivia. Figured it out.
I hope so. Okay, five, Sobo Foods dumplings.
Ooh.
Those look really good. That's confusing. They have pork written upside down. But
that is weird.
Well, I like,
instead of not pork, I guess just upside down.
You don't even want to be able to read that word clearly. Maybe I'm in the minority because I've heard so many varying views on this. I personally love meat substitutes. Because I'm not a super health food vegan.
Yeah.
I've talked to so many people who are just like, no, plants are better than meat substitutes. And that's great. And I love regular whole plants and stuff too. But if you're telling me there's a pork that's vegan chive dumpling, I am going to fade that.
I agree. I am big on the plant-based meats too.
I know.
Yeah.
Because I didn't stop eating meat because I don't like how meat tastes. Right. I love how meat tastes. Yes. I just think meat is freaking nasty.
Yes, like, exactly. And I love food. And it's just, plants and all that, eating raw and stuff is great. But like,
yes. Yeah, or just like, not the substitutes. And all power to that. I will also fade all of those things too. But I love the flavors that meat provides without having to actually eat meat.
Right.
I love it. I don't want to give up flavor profiles just because I'm plant-based. If I had to, I would, but I don't have to.
Imagine if they came out with a healthy, meat alternative. It's good for you.
Well, is that? I don't know if it is, but have you heard of that Meaty brand?
No.
Meaty. It's steaks and chicken made out of mushrooms.
Oh, is that the new stuff at Woodman's?
They have it at Woodman's.
Yes,
I first saw it at Whole Foods.
I just got the chicken cutlet one.
Yes.
And it was really wild how similar it was.
Yes, it tastes exact, except for I feel like it's a little more tender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could give that to people and
fool them.
Yeah,
completely.
Exactly.
And they'll be like, wow, this is some tender chicken.
Right. It is. I don't know what they're doing, but the stuff that's coming out now is just it's
wizardry.
Yes.
There's number six is My Forest Foods Mycelium Bacon.
Interesting. What is that made out of?
I'm assuming that's mushrooms. Yep, mushroom cells.
Mushroom cells.
Speaking of mushroom meat, I feel like mushrooms are the meat of the non-animal kingdom.
Yes.
So.
Oh, like oyster mushrooms? My gosh. Yes, I love that. But that's cool because I don't know if they have mushroom bacon out. Do they?
They don't really have adequate vegan bacon.
They
right
don't.
Now.
No.
They don't.
But, like,
oh,
that
there's
smart
there's
bacon
only one.
Is like cardboard. It's legitly cardboard cut up into pieces and served.
It is. It is. I'm not a huge fan of that. Yeah. Ava likes it, but no. The only bacon that I've tried that I've liked have come from very particular restaurants. I don't know where they freaking get this bacon from, but it's the ones that look marbled, but they're also not crispy bacon. It's when it's
Canadian bacon almost?
Kind of, yeah.
I don't know if I've had that. Or seen that.
It's wild.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Number seven, Elmhurst ready to drink lattes.
Ooh, I like that.
That sounds good. I gave up coffee and then I just saw Dr. Michael Greger, the plant-based nutrition doctor, speak.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how coffee actually slows down your aging process.
Interesting.
Yeah, so now
that's
I've been drinking.
To know. I will continue with drinking my coffee.
Number eight is Omni Foods.
Ooh.
Those look good.
This might be my favorite one on the list so far. Oh.
Have you had any of the Omni brand stuff? They have vegan Spam.
Yes. Alyssa made me get the vegan Spam one. I've never actually had real Spam before.
It tastes exact.
It does. It's so good. She had Spam growing up, and she's actually been to the Spam Museum or something, like multiple times, which I think is weird.
Sounds like something she would do.
And I don't know what state it's in. I forget.
It's probably in Iowa. Yeah,
it's somewhere surrounding Wisconsin, I think, but she insisted, and I didn't like it. I don't know.
Maybe it's just bias. I will make it for you guys, because so the only time and the only reason I've ever eaten Spam is when I lived in Hawaii. They have a thing called musubi.
Okay.
And it's basically a block of rice, and you put Spam on top of that rice and wrap it in seaweed. And it's literally one of my favorite things to eat, and it sounds really weird.
Okay.
But everyone I've given it to has been like, this is so good.
Okay.
Yeah, so I will make it for
I'll
you guys
trust you on
really
that.
Soon.
Okay, I will try it. Maybe you can change my mind on Spam.
Yes, I will. I know for a fact that you really like it. But yeah, that's the same brand as this. So I am putting my faith in this, because everything I've eaten from the Omni brand has been really, really good. Number 9, Conscious Foods Kimbap.
Is that kimbap. Like sushi?
Sustainable seafood company. That's interesting. By the Yves Potvin brand. Oh, they're the ones who do Gardein. And then the Yves, I don't know if it's Yves or Yves. I'm really bad at
I am too. I couldn't give you anything on that.
It looks just like prepackaged sushi, which that seems really interesting.
I have been on a huge sushi kick lately.
We've been eating sushi a lot lately.
And you
too.
Recommended the one place that I haven't tried yet, which is in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, Blues.
Yeah, I need to try that. So we need to try that.
Speaking of blue, there's Blue Zones Kitchen coming in at number 10, which is random. Yeah, it looks like just healthy frozen food.
That's good.
A cool concept.
Yeah, because I feel like they don't have a lot of the frozen meals either to take, like, for work and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
They got Purple Carrot, and Wicked Kitchen is one that I like.
I love Wicked Kitchen.
Yeah.
That one, I feel like everything that I've gotten from that brand has been really, really good.
Yeah.
Then 11, Holy Scoops Cookie Dough Wrapped Ice Cream Bonbons.
What?
Oh my gosh. Formulated with adaptogens. I've been drinking lately too. So
all
it
about
has
the
chaga,
mushrooms.
Lion's mane, and maca.
Nice.
And
I've been doing that too more. I've been trying to do the, because I said I drink coffee a lot, but I've been trying to switch to mushroom coffee, but I just feel like it doesn't have as much kick to it,
yeah.
I guess, which is sad because we need that nowadays to get through our days. But yeah, that's awesome.
Yes. And then finally, number 12, Yum Artisanal Cheeses.
Oh.
Anything vegan cheese related, I dig it.
Yes.
I don't think that there is a lot that I've tried recently that I haven't liked, but I also, to be fair, have been sticking to the same brands.
Yeah.
So I definitely have tried really disgusting ones before.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, just weird.
And this seems like more like a fancier cheese too, which is cool. Yeah, I like that.
I'm excited for all of those.
Yeah,
I'm,
me
like,
too.
Looking forward to trying them. Hopefully they're released here and not just in the UK.
Oh my God, I hate that. You see pictures of this stuff and then it's like UK. And it's like, why?
Don't tell me this.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyways, moving on. Let's just get to the topic of our episode then. Why it's important to raise vegan kids and also how to get started with doing that. So yeah, I think we both have really strong opinions about that. We think that it is a really important thing to do. Do you want to maybe go first and get started with what you think is an important aspect of doing that? Or
yeah, of course. Views? Yeah, just to kind of put it simply, I feel like it introduces compassion and empathy towards all living beings from a young age. I believe this promotes kindness and respect. I think those are really important things and values to teach our kids. And health-wise, I mean, eating a plant-based diet is proven scientifically. There's numerous documentaries out there now of how good it is for you. And a well-planned vegan diet can provide all the necessary nutrients for children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually had written down this quote by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, which is formerly called the American Dietetic Association, but they actually said almost that exact same thing, that an appropriately planned vegan diet is healthful, nutritionally adequate, and may provide health benefits in the prevention and treatment of certain diseases, and they are appropriate for all stages of the life cycle, including pregnancy, lactation, infancy, childhood, and adolescence, and also for athletes.
Yeah. So there's nothing bad to being vegan or raising your kids vegan. I don't know an argument that you could make, a logical one, of why you shouldn't do it. I would love to hear it if you do have one, but
And it is on the World Health Organization website that processed red meat is actually a group one carcinogen, which is the same category that cigarettes are. And a processed red meat is anything from like pepperoni and hot dogs and all of these things that kids are given so heavily. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you wouldn't give your kid a cigarette, then maybe rethink giving them this processed red meat, which they even offer in school sometimes.
Yeah,
too.
I was thinking both those points. I was like, they offer that in school and it's just, that's wild.
Even just red meat in general is group two carcinogen. So either way, I feel like it's terrible for your body and then therefore terrible for your children's body.
Yeah.
I think another thing that's really important to consider as far as raising kids that are vegan is the environmental impact of not being vegan, especially given that they are going to be inheriting our planet, and our planet right now is in crisis. Mm-hmm. We have climate change happening, and there's been all of this extreme weather, there's been all of these fires, all of this flooding, and the biggest reason for that is greenhouse gas emissions.
Yes.
Which the biggest contributor to those is the animal agriculture industry. Mm-hmm. In 2000, they estimate that 18% of the total emissions come from animal agriculture, which beats the global transportation system because that is 14%. So, and that is literally all of the planes, trains, ships, everything combined, you know, every mode of transportation.
That's wild. Like, yes. When you first said that, I was just thinking about cars, which is insane, but that is, wow.
It's everything. Yeah, yeah. Because not only is methane produced from cow burps and farts, basically, by the overabundance, like these billions of animals that are bred into existence, that there's so many that it changes our environment. The nitrous oxide produced by fertilizer and animal feces. But then we're also decimating the rainforest at an alarming rate, which that impacts our environment as well. You know, just having those fires that they use to clear it out and just having the lack of trees there. Mm-hmm. It's the number one source of species extinction and ocean dead zones because of all of the waste runoff.
Yeah.
As of right now, the temperature on planet Earth is rising and it threatens people with extreme heat, increased food and water scarcity, and then it's going to be causing human migration. It already is, you know, from the coasts because it results in our sea levels rising and it's just awful. So I feel like it's so important to instill that knowledge and those values into our kids just so that they have a place to live when they're an adult and when we're not here anymore.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like it is our duty to teach our kids those things because unfortunately, the world is so big that by the time people are realizing what's actually happening, it's almost too late. Where this thing has happening, where people have been migrating to the Midwest for probably years now, probably before we even knew. And now we're realizing, oh, this is actually a thing. Some people still don't realize it. And before long, it's going to be too late. And it's just not sustainable.
Yeah, it's terrifying. We have to start making these big changes with how we're living and just having all of this awareness of our contribution to this planet. And I think that this next generation is going to be the most aware and the most instrumental in actually trying to make changes. Because, I mean, that's the hope anyways. And I think having these values of being vegan and wanting to live in harmony with the things around you and wanting to cause the least amount of harm that we possibly can, given our contribution on this planet, is so important for the future.
Yeah, I agree. We're the ones that are responsible and ultimately in charge of creating our future. So why not put it into action and start with ourselves and our kids?
Lastly, I mean, arguably the most important aspect of why we should consider our kids about veganism is the ethics of it. And animals have feelings. It's been proven, you know, they have their own emotional complex lives. They have family structures. They're beings and individuals in their own right, and they value their lives. A lot of them have been proven to have self-awareness. And I think it's so important to instill kindness in our kids, especially with all of this violence that occurs, in the world. Mm-hmm. So I remember watching this outreach video on YouTube a while ago, and the person was talking to just a random other person about if we were to teach kids from a very young age that every single being on this planet deserves to live a life free from oppression and have their own autonomy, they deserve respect, whether it's a chicken or a fish out in the ocean that they'll never meet, mm-hmm. and that no matter who this animal is, their life is important to them, and therefore it matters, and we shouldn't oppress them or exploit them. How would that kid ever grow up and oppress another human being?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I really resonated with that. I think that there's so much validity to that.
Yeah. I agree 100% because even we're talking about in Wisconsin, sports like that, another big sport here is hunting. And there's a big thing where kids, I don't know how old you have to be to go hunting, but a big thing is sons go hunting with their fathers and it's like a bonding experience. And then you're teaching a child, okay, hold a gun, shoot an innocent animal, this is okay. And then we're growing up and we're hearing all of these wild stories about things that are happening. And then we're like, well, how can something happen like this when things are so innocent as, oh, this is me bonding with my father,
right.
is me holding a gun and shooting an innocent animal.
Right. They're just desensitized from such a young age towards violence and taking the life of someone.
Yeah, it's super sad.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And I think that it really shuts off empathy from a young age. And then we wonder why there's all of this violence.
I agree. Yeah.
So how do we get started with being vegan with, you know, if you've made this connection about how you would like to try to eat more plant-based or live a more vegan lifestyle, how do you get your kids to do that? And yeah, do you have any insight into that?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, most important things is being educated, educating yourself, doing your due diligence. And another big thing is nutrients and educating yourself on that, ensuring your child does receive all the essential nutrients. Because with any type of diet, you could just eat anything and it's not going to balance out everything that you're going to need in that day. You do have to plan and educate yourself and learn what's important, what you do need, and make sure that your child does receive all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How about you?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think it is interesting because parents that I've met, it seems like they don't really care that much about what nutrients their kids are getting until you tell them that you're eating plant-based. And then people will be like, what about this and what about that? And it's like, is that really what you're thinking of when you're going through drive-through?
Right.
For lunch, you know, is like what nutrients you're getting. But regardless, based on all of the science that's out, you can get every single thing from a vegan diet that you need nutritionally, aside from B12, which is not an animal product. It's actually a bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And before we had this ultra sanitized world that we have, it was just all over the ground. And, you know, you'd pick veggies and it'd be in the soil and you could just get it from that.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's not as abundant. So we need to supplement it. The only reason why people who eat meat don't really have to supplement it as much is because the animals they're eating are injected with that supplement already.
Yeah.
So either way, they're still eating the supplement. They're still supplementing it. It's just getting supplemented and filtered through an animal.
Yes.
So B12 is like the only thing that you have to make sure that you get, but it's something that's important to make sure you get no matter what type of diet you're doing.
Yeah.
So in trying to think of how to get started, and if you have already been raising your child and they're not vegan, I would say a tip would be, number one, just to be patient in the process. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with your kids. It's like what you were saying before, is that it took you a little bit to fully convert to being vegan. I was like that as well. And there was days that I didn't eat vegan, or I just went for the only food that was available after getting off of work.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just, you're trying to eat plant-based and you slip up at some point, just get back into it.
Yeah.
Your kids are probably, unless you've been very educational and they really get it, they might be a little bit resistant as well. Just be patient with them too, you know?
Yeah.
So I think placing expectations for everybody to be in the same place that you're at is maybe can be a little bit detrimental of a thing. You know?
And reminding yourself that it's not an overnight thing, that you are going to mess up, that there are going to be, like you said, days, but don't feel bad. It's just being conscious about it and being like, okay, that's just how you learn and move forward.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree.
Another thing that I think is good is exploring new recipes with your children together and making mealtime fun and exciting, including them in the decision making. What do they want to eat? And making that, say, their favorite meal is meatloaf, making that vegan meatloaf. And if they don't like it the first time, there's hundreds of different vegan meatloaf recipes that you can make with meat substitute. If you don't like meat substitute, you can do, I've seen with walnuts and lentils and different things like that. Mm-hmm. So making it fun and exciting and trying different things and not getting discouraged if your first vegan mac and cheese doesn't taste good.
Right. Especially the mac and cheese. I feel like that can be real.
That's an art. I've had a couple bad experiences with making mac and cheese and I'm like,
The ones that just taste like some weird soup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's not mac and cheese. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No.
It's decent, but it's not that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. And honestly, not all meat substitutes are made the same either. Impossible and Beyond are the two main ones. I know people who prefer Impossible because it tastes way more like beef.
Mm-hmm.
I like Beyond Meat because I just like, you know, it's like the essence of meat without it being exact.
Yeah.
And the real exact dupes kind of gross me out because at this point, psychologically. So I really like Beyond, but then I've heard from some people that they hate Beyond. So go and try different ones as well, because maybe if you don't like one, you will like a different kind.
Yeah. And maybe your favorite brand isn't out yet. Maybe it's on that list that we just read of the top 12. So just be patient.
It's going to be that Lion's Mane steak. I just know it.
Right? Oh, that looks so good. Yeah.
Yes.
I think another thing that's super important too is leading by example. So you eating healthier, your child seeing you eating healthier, I think that's also going to be a big thing as well. Is I feel like if you're eating a bag of chips, that they're going to want a bag of chips as well. So trying to eat healthier yourself and encouraging open communication as well about how they feel, what they want to eat. And yeah.
Right. Yeah. And even if you're not doing it for health, if you give them, for whatever reason, I don't know why someone would do this, but if you give a plant-based burger and you're eating a regular one or something.
That's a good point.
Like, why would they want to do what you're not doing? So you definitely have to lead by example.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that good thing is just picking out all the foods that you normally eat. And I think you touched on this, but just making the vegan version of that.
Like,
you don't even need to look up a vegan recipe. You can just use your exact recipe that you always use and then put all vegan ingredients in it. So if you are making a meatloaf or something, instead of using beef, use vegan beef. Or if you're making, like, I don't know, lasagna, instead of using mozzarella, use vegan mozzarella.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to just substitute out these ingredients and they bake and cook and everything almost identical to the non-vegan versions.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you're not going to feel in like a super catatonic food coma after. You're going to feel lighter.
Yes.
You're going to feel better. I mean, and then just not only physically, but if you are doing it for ethical reasons, you're going to feel really good that you got to eat something very delicious while not harming animals. So,
yeah, those are great points to make.
I think that what you were saying too about open communication and education, that's so important, because I have personally not forced my daughter to be vegan. I have given her the option, because sometimes it's hard with friends and family members to get them to respect that you want your kid to be vegan.
Yes.
So I've given her the option to not do it if she's not at the house, but she is very steadfast in needing to be vegan because of how much we've talked about it and why we're deciding to do it.
Yeah.
So she knows the ins and outs of animal agriculture, like a kid's version. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't have to hear all the graphic stuff, but she knows that the baby cows are taken away from the moms because that's how we get their milk.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of times they will kill the babies. Keep it, you know,
mm-hmm,
very kid appropriate, but she's educated about it. So she's the one that makes that choice. And I think that that's also an important aspect of it, because she's not going to rebel against a choice that she's making.
Yeah.
And I mean, that doesn't mean that you have to support your kid bringing non-vegan food into your house.
Mm-hmm.
You could be like, in our house, there's only plant-based food in the house. It's just vegan food in the house. Do what you want outside of here. I don't really want to hear about it, but go and do and eat whatever you want. But at the house, we're just going to do this because it's really important to me.
Yeah.
I think just having that kind of communication, like, yeah, maybe a kid will kind of groan and moan at first, but they're going to understand if you just talk to them human to human and you don't put those super heavy restrictions and you let them come to the conclusion and make that connection at their own pace.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's a really important aspect of it. And just, you know, make it fun, like try new foods, go to different restaurants,
mm-hmm,
that you've never been to before, get something that you wouldn't normally get.
one thing that we do that I think would be fun is just do a taste test thing.
Yeah.
Like, go to the grocery store, let your kid pick out 5 different types of vegan mac and cheese.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
Just make all of them and taste it one by one. Yeah. And see if there's an acceptable one, you know, like, yeah, this could be fun.
Like a challenge almost or something. Yes. Like that. Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. So I think that just being patient and having that open communication and respect and trust with each other and like making things fun. And it's really, really amazing and really easy and second nature as soon as you get over that awkward hump of getting everyone on board. So
yeah. And be patient with yourself, because like we keep saying, it's not overnight. It does take time, and just being patient and having grace for yourself.
Right. I agree. Well, I think that's probably everything.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was better than I thought. It was
I did too. But yeah, we were both super excited about this.
I'm very nervous.
As you know, this is our first episode, but we're super excited to be here. And like I had said in the beginning, we're super excited to learn more. I'm really excited to learn more because I feel like the community has a lot to offer. I feel like you have a lot to offer I said, your experience. So.
Yeah.
Excited.
I'm excited too.
Yeah.
And if this is something that you guys found helpful or educational at all, definitely leave comments, give us some feedback. If you have any questions, you can share this with someone who you think it would benefit. But we'd love to hear from you, and hearing from you is only going to make future episodes better. So
our second episode is going to be about what to eat and if you've got picky eaters, and we may or may not even have a guest speaker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Stay tuned. See you later.
Bye.